Question that initially strikes us is, why is that a question? Why is that a topic for a shiur? What's wrong with converting for the sake of marriage? So a Gentile wants to marry a Jew, so they convert and they marry a Jew, and that's great. What could possibly be wrong with that? So let's look into that a little bit and learn together here on the source sheet. So let's begin with the first source, the Pasuk in Rus. Right? We know Rus was a convert, and the verse really praises her for that. The verse says, Yishalem Hashem pa'aleich, that Hashem should reward her for what she did. She should receive a complete reward from Hashem, the God of Israel, that she came to take refuge under Hashem's wings, under God's wings, so to speak. So the pasuk, the verse, really praises Rus for coming to convert, and we view converts very favorably. Right, they're doing something wonderful. They're deciding to become a servant of God, serving through the fulfillment of the 613 commandments, all the commandments that a Jew fulfills. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing. So what could possibly be wrong? So in source 2 here, the Gemara says, the Talmud says, Amar Mar, Ger Shabala Hiskayer. When a convert comes to convert, Omrim Lo, so we say to him, Mara Isa Shabasal Hiskayer. What did you see? What caused you to decide to convert? And we inform the convert, the potential convert, of a selection of some of the mitzvos which are some of the commandments which are easier to fulfill, and some of the mitzvos which are more difficult. My time. So why do we inform them of the mitzvos, of the commandments? Deiparish nifrosh, because we want them to have the option that if they should choose to change their mind and decide that actually this is not for me, I don't really want to convert, so this is sort of, we give them a warning, it might not be so easy, just in case they decide that it's really not for them. Well, why would we want to give them a warning so that they would decide it's not for them? Aren't we very happy to have converts? So the Amar Rav Chelbo said, Koshim geirim liYisrael kisapachas. That in certain respects, it's not so good to have converts. Literally, this means that geirim, that a convert can be as difficult for the Jewish people as a wound, as a negat saras. Nechsev, as the pasuk says, v'nilvaha ger aleihem, that the convert will join the Jewish people, v'nisbechu al beis Yaakov, and they will be added on to the house of Yaakov. So literally, the pasuk just means that the convert is added on to the Jewish people, but in the form of drush. Chazal say, the rabbis explain, that in some respects it's not so good for the Jewish people to have additional converts. So why would that be? So Rashi in Source 3 explains, Sha'ochazin ma'aseyim harishonim, sometimes they continue conducting themselves as they were before, and as a Gentile, a person is not required to, observe 613 commandments. So they were an upstanding Gentile. They fulfilled the 7 commandments that a Gentile is supposed to fulfill. And then when they convert, they continue with their practices. But as a Jew, that's not sufficient. As a Jew, they're now obligated in 613 commandments. Nevom dim Yisrael mehem. And then other Jews learn from what these converts are doing. And that's really a problem. Or perhaps they rely on the converts when it comes to, let's say, for example, what food is kosher, what food is not kosher. So the convert doesn't necessarily know all the details. They're continuing to conduct themselves as they were before they converted. And now they'll invite someone to their house and they'll be serving non-kosher food, perhaps just because they don't know better. And they'll invite Jews over to their house and the Jews will rely on them. And then they may be eating food which isn't kosher. So this is Rashi's explanation for why there are certain reasons why we want to discourage a convert from converting. So this is all, these sources so far tell us that in general we view converts very favorably, but it's also important that the converts be fulfilling the commandments, because if not, there may be Jews who are learning their conduct, or there may be Jews who are relying on them when it comes to what food is kosher or other examples of that nature. And therefore, it's important that when they convert with the full intent and commitment to be fulfilling the 613 commandments. So now we're going to see a few sources which talk about the two primary issues about conversion for marriage. The two primary issues are, number one, is there a requirement that a conversion be done with an altruistic motivation? If a person is converting for the sake of marrying the spouse that they're interested in marrying, and they're not really altruistically interested in becoming Jewish, so is that the type of convert who the Jewish people wants to accept? That's the first issue, and we'll see sources for that in a minute. And the second issue is there a requirement when a person converts that they have intent to fulfill all of the 613 commandments? Let's say a person says, I'm going to convert, but I'm not going to fulfill the commandments. Is such a conversion valid or is it not valid? So we're going to see sources on those two topics. The basic sources would seem to imply that a person really does have to convert with altruistic motivations, and that one who's converting just for the sake of marriage would not be the type of convert who we would want to ideally accept. And we're also going to see sources that there is a requirement to accept and to have intent to fulfill the 613 commandments when one converts. And then after that, we'll see how some of the more recent rabbis have been lenient in certain respects and permitted certain things which we might have thought would not have been acceptable when seeing the earlier sources. So then we'll see their reasons behind what they said. So in source 4 here, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, Hanitan arashifka v'nishtachera. If a person is suspected of being with a maidservant, a Jew is not allowed to marry a maidservant, and then she is freed. Or a person is suspected of having been with a male Jew is suspected of having been with a female non-Jewish woman, and then she converts. So harezeh lo yichnos. So the Mishnah says that he's not then allowed to go ahead and marry her. Vim kanas, but if he did marry her, ein motzi and miyoda, we don't force them to get divorced. So let's focus on that case for a second. So the rumors going around that this Jewish man has been with this non-Jewish woman. People suspect them of having been together. So the Mishnah tells us that after she converts, he's not permitted to marry her, ideally. But if he did marry her, so the courts would not insist that they get divorced. So let's jump to the Gemara. So the Gemara here, the third line of the source says, Hagiores miyahavya. The implication is they're not allowed to get married, but the conversion is valid. Even though we believe that perhaps this woman is converting for the sake of marrying this Jewish man, the conversion is valid. Uimini, but we have a contradiction to this from another source. Echad ish and isgayer l'shum isha. If a man converts for the sake of marrying a Jewish woman, v'echad isha shen isgayer l'shum ish, or if a woman converts for the sake of marrying a Jewish man, or a person converts because they want to partake of literally the tables of kings. In other words, the Jews are very wealthy, and they want to join the wealthy Jewish community. Or Rishum Avdei Shlomo, they want to be members of the servants of Shlomo, meaning King Shlomo, King Solomon. In other words, they're converting for the sake of wealth. Einan Geirin Divrei Rabbi Nechemya. So the conversion doesn't work according to Rabbi Nechemya. Shahaya Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya says, Echad Gerei Arayos, Echad Gerei Charomos, people who convert because they're afraid of lions. There's a story in the Nevi'im about a group of people who are afraid of lions and they converted out of fear. Echad Gerei Charomos, or a person who converts because of something that was told to him in a dream. Echad Gerei Mordechai V'Esther, people who converted in the time of Purim because they wanted the Jews were very popular, were very successful at the time. So Einan Gerin, none of those conversions are valid. Adshi is Gairu Bazman Azeh, until they convert in our contemporary times. And the Gemara asks, Bazman Azeh Sal Kadaitach. A person only can convert in our contemporary times. Through the course of history, there weren't any converts. And Aima rather say, Kivizman Hazeh, like in contemporary times. In other words, where they're not converting for ulterior motivations. They have to be converting because they really want to become Jewish, not because they want to marry a Jewish spouse, not because they think that the Jews are wealthy. They have to be converting for the proper reasons, because they want to become Jewish. So we see that ideally, so not only ideally, but we see here in the words of Rabbi Nechemya that a convert for ulterior motives doesn't even work at all. So the Gemara is asking a question: how can we say that? How can the Mishnah say that one shouldn't ideally marry someone who converted for the sake of marrying them, but that the conversion is valid? It seems from here that the conversion isn't even valid. So the Gemara answers, Ha'itmar ara amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishmei de Rav haracha k'divrei ha'omer kulam gerim. That we paskin that the conversion is valid. In other words, what we want to take out from here is that it's a machlokes. Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that one who converts for the sake of marriage, it's not valid at all. But the Rabbanan disagree, and they say that it is valid, even though ideally we should not have accepted the convert who we know is only converting for the sake of marriage. Nonetheless, once they convert, so the conversion is valid, and then there's an idea that that if they converted for the sake of marrying the person who they were suspected of having been with beforehand, they should not get married. And the reason for that, the Gemara goes on to explain, and we'll just say it over outside for the sake of time, the reason for that is that we don't want to strengthen the rumors. Everyone's telling rumors, you know, she's only converting because she wants to marry him, or he's only converting because he wants to marry her. So we don't want everyone to be talking like that. So we say it's better if they don't get married, but the conversion would be valid. Fine. So we paskin like the Chachamim. We paskin like the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan are of the opinion that a conversion for the sake of marriage is valid, but lechatchila, ideally, we should not accept the convert in the first place if we know that their intent is only for the sake of marriage. So the question that I would throw out to all of you right now is, when a person, let's think about in our day and age, a person decides, okay, they're interested in a Jewish spouse, right? You have a Gentile person who's interested in a Jewish spouse, and their Jewish spouse really would prefer if they would convert, because, you know, what are my parents going to think? Or I also would like to marry someone who's Jewish. So it's something that's important to me. So is this a problem of converting for the sake of marriage, where ideally we should not permit something like this? Or perhaps this case in our times is a little different. Any ideas? Yes, Mike.
I mean, it's a good idea. I think that, first of all, we're a small community, and the more people we get, the better. But even more importantly, I think that when somebody marries another person, in any marriage, there's going to be a strong marriage. I think, at least to me, it's clear that if a non-Jew, let's say a Jewess, marries a Jew, his religion, to a large extent, to a smaller extent, but in any event, to a defining extent, defines him. And when she marries him, or even is with him, you cannot eradicate that. So why eradicate it?
Right.
Why should marry him?
No, it's no different. It's exactly what Kazal said. What I'm saying is what Kazal said.
It seems from here that ideally we should not accept a convert who we know is only converting for the sake of marriage. But if they did convert, then we would follow the opinion of the Rabbanon that it's valid. But ideally we shouldn't accept them.
But if, what does it mean? But if they did convert. They went to Santa Claus? No. If they went to some Orthodox rabbi, he said, fine.
It could be.
But somebody's obviously going to say fine within the hum structure.
It could be that...
They don't know the reason. The guy lies. The guy says, says I'm not converting for marriage. He tricks her out, and then it comes out later that he actually did convert for marriage. Point of the conversion is that one.
So that it's possible that that the rabbi didn't know that the person was converting for the sake of marriage. Maybe he didn't know that's why she was converting. It was a quick conversion process, and he didn't know.
Okay. They go to the rabbis in those days. They didn't have to go to a rabbi to get married.
They go for the for the conversion, they needed a court for conversion. They needed a rabbinical court for conversion. So the rabbinical court...
For the marriage, she converted.
So, but the court, the rabbinical court, who let's say she came to for the conversion, if they knew that she was converting for the sake of marrying a Jewish man, and that's the only reason why she was converting,
they would have said no.
So then they would have said no. They would have discouraged it, right.
They would have discouraged what, the marriage or the conversion?
Well, the conversion. They would have discouraged the conversion. So the question that I'm asking is, why might it be different in our times if a person decides that they want to convert to marry a Jewish spouse? Why should things be any different? Meaning, we should say, based on what we've seen so far, if a person says, I'm interested in a Jewish spouse and that's why I want to convert, the rabbinical court should say, I'm sorry, you can't convert. And we should never have any cases where people are converting and then going ahead and getting married. But we find, we look around, and we do find that. So what's the reason for the difference? Yes.
Are we worried about losing a Jewish person who's anyways going to marry a non-Jew?
Yes, that's a very good point. Who will anyways marry a non-Jew. In other words, I think what you mean is that since they're going to anyways marry a non-Jew, so are they really converting for the sake of marriage? They would have marriage even without the conversion. Yes.
You find that today the basic makes a difference between when it's a male marrying a Jewish, a female convert, or a female marrying a male convert.
Interesting. What's the reason behind that?
Because I guess the male marrying, if it's a real, with a girl marrying a non-Jew, no matter what, the kids are still, you're going to keep the kids within the.
The stakes aren't the stakes aren't quite as high. You're saying.
Right.
Okay. So that makes sense. When the stakes are not as high, so there's more room. A few hands over there. Yes.
How do you really know what's in somebody's heart, what their real intention is? You know, I mean, you can't say, oh, they marry them because they want, you know, for the sake of getting their money or whatever. You don't know what people's motives are.
So maybe their intent was they really wanted to convert wholeheartedly.
Like there's also a rule in the Orthodox that you're not supposed to marry somebody who's divorced. I mean, if somebody doesn't have a happy marriage, even if they're
a Kohen can't marry somebody.
You know what I'm saying, okay? But this is a rule that was made by the rabbis, not a rule that was handed down by God, as far as I'm concerned. And if somebody's not in a happy marriage and they're both divorced, they're allowed to.
So in terms of the stakes, we were discussing the stakes before. What's a rule which is biblical and what's a rule which is rabbinic? So that's also going to be very important here. So maybe we've already seen two points which we're going to see inside in the postgim. When the rabbis discussed this, they mentioned this. So maybe we'll come back to some of the sources that we skipped, and maybe just for the sake of time, and since this was brought up, maybe we'll skip to source 13 here. It's on the second page. This is in Shut Yabia Omer, which is written by Rav Ovadia Yosef. And Rav Ovadia Yosef here brings reasons for being lenient. And if we look around, we see that the practice is people convert and then they get married. You'll have someone who's Jewish who's dating someone who's not Jewish. And the person who's not Jewish will convert, and the rabbinical court will accept them as a convert. And no one stops them. So it seems like this is something which is done. So what's that based on? What's the logic behind that? If we've seen in the Gemara that ideally we don't want to accept a convert who's just converting for the sake of marriage. So Rav Ovadia Yosef writes like this. Don't prove from what the early commentators write. They're right, they were afraid that people might say that she was only converting for the sake of marriage, and that she didn't have, you know, altruistic motivations, that she was just converting for the sake of God. And some people might mistakenly conclude that if a person converts only for the sake of marriage, that it doesn't work even biblically. Someone might make that mistake, and they'll question the conversion entirely, and they'll think perhaps the conversion doesn't work biblically. No, that's not correct. This idea that we don't accept a convert who we know is converting only for the sake of marriage, that's only a rabbinic principle. So what? We all, of course, follow rabbinic principles as well. The answer is, well, the stakes are a little bit lower. So if we can come up with good, legitimate leniencies, again, if there are no legitimate leniencies, it doesn't matter if the stakes are only midrabanan. If there are no legitimate leniencies, there are no leniencies. But since the stakes here are only midrabanan, so there's more room if we find legitimate leniencies. And Rav Ovadia Yosef proves that this principle is only midrabanan. He continues, midchazinan, from the fact that we see, derechatchila davka ein lekabel gerim mushum ishas. It's only lechatchila, it's only from the beginning, when a person comes and says they want to convert just for the sake of marriage, that we say, I'm sorry, we're not going to accept the person who comes to convert telling us that they're just doing it for the sake of marriage. But if they already did convert, so then we assume the rule is that they aren't legitimate converts. So it seems from here that the prohibition to accept a convert who's just converting for the sake of marriage, who rak mi derabanan, is just a prohibition, it's a rabbinic prohibition. Because on a biblical level, we usually don't distinguish between nevechachila and bidiyavet, meaning between what we would ideally allow from the beginning and what, if it were already done, would be considered acceptable. So if we say that once the conversion was already done, it's acceptable, it must mean that biblically, it's okay even from the outset. Yes? Perhaps, good point. Perhaps Rabbi Nachman would say that. Oh, so we haven't gotten yet to the acceptance of mitzvot. We're going to get to that. That's going to be the second half of the shiur. So that, and the fact that they're choosing to live a Torah observant life, you're saying, makes it certainly seem like they're converting not only for marriage, they're converting because they want to convert. Absolutely, I would agree with that. All he said so far is that the prohibition to accept the convert from the outset, who we know is only converting for the sake of marriage, that prohibition is a rabbinic prohibition. That's all. Well, we will see later that Rav Ovadia Yosef does hold, and it's going to be a difference of opinion, as we'll see, but Rav Ovadia Yosef does hold that that the convert has to be fully willing to accept all the mitzvos. What he said so far is he wants the conversion to be for the sake of heaven. And we're actually going to see later, it's a little bit ambiguous what exactly it means for the sake of heaven. Does for the sake of heaven mean an acceptance to fulfill all of the mitzvos? Or perhaps for the sake of heaven means something else? A devotion to God. A devotion to God. But all jokes aside, so I certainly understand that perspective. We'll see. There's someone who disagrees. We'll see that. Yes?
So if somebody's converted to Judaism, are they obligated to tell the person that they're a convert, or are they automatically Jewish because they've converted? Do they have to tell their future spouse that they've converted?
I don't know if there are rules requiring what from one's history one has to share with their spouse. I mean, it might be good advice to share many things with one spouse.
But
I don't think there's a rule that one discusses. Once a person's converted, they're totally Jewish. They're 100% Jewish. I don't think there are rules. Fine, so let's see. Just in order to try to get to some of the rest of the sources, let's look further here in Rav Ovadia Yosef, because he brings up some more points on this topic. So he says, "Sheyesh lomar shemeachar shekvar niseis liyehudi al pichok ha-medina." He's talking about a case where there was already a secular marriage, and now the person is converting because they want to have a religious marriage. So in this case, where they've already become married secularly, they hire courts in the secular courts, they're happily married. They have a secular marriage, they're happily married. No one's objecting. So this conversion, as you pointed out, is not considered to be a conversion for the sake of marriage. They're not converting for the sake of marriage, they're happily married. They had a secular marriage. Even though perhaps she's converting because she wants her Jewish husband's family to accept her. The raya azem yevamos, and the proof for this is daminon dehadichse vayischatin Shlomo es bas Paro melech Mitzrayim. So Shlomo, King Solomon, married the daughter of Paro, the king of Egypt. Digiure gayra v'nasva. The daughter of the king of Egypt converted, and Shlomo went ahead and married her. So the Gemara asks, "V'halo kiblu gerim b'mei Shlomo?" Didn't we say before that in the times of King Solomon they didn't accept gerim because perhaps they were just converting for the sake of wealth? So the Gemara says, "Midi hu taima ela mishum shulchan melachim." The only reason why we didn't accept them is because we were afraid they were converting only because they wanted to join the palace. Well, halo tzricha. The daughter of Paro didn't need to marry Shlomo in order to be in the household of a palace. She was in the household of a palace, so if she was converting, it wasn't just because of she wanted to join, you know, Shlomo's palace and have the wealth. So now Rav Ovadia writes, "V'aval pi shebevadei hayamakom rochosh sheretzona v'maleis keshkoim Shlomo." Even though perhaps we should be concerned that she wanted Shlomo to be happy with her. Shlomo HaMelech might have wanted to marry someone who was Jewish, and that's why she converted, not because of an altruistic motivation to serve God. And especially since Shlomo HaMelech was such a great king, he was so powerful, he ruled over the entire world. It was a great honor to marry Shlomo. Nonetheless, they didn't suspect her of that. The Gairua, and they converted her. And similarly, in our case, they've been married for a long time with a secular marriage and they've had children. No one's objected to this. So, in our generation, writes Rav Ovadia, we can accept her as a convert from the very beginning, from the very outset. It's not considered conversion for the sake of marriage because they could get married even without the conversion. They were happily married beforehand. They could get married without the conversion, and therefore that's not considered a conversion for the sake of marriage. And Rav Ovadia continues to bring a few more reasons for leniency here, and he writes, "Gam ha'gon Rav Shlomo Kruger, b'shur tuv tam v'das, kam ha'kosav, sh'yesh romar, demai d'kaimel," on this that we assume, "sh'asur l'kabel u'gaya l'shem ishas," that one cannot accept a convert who's just converting for the sake of marriage, "haynu davka b'ro ba'ara adayin klal," that's if they haven't been together yet. "Da'az tokif yitzram," then they have a very strong inclination, a very strong desire for each other. "Aval b'ba'al mutra l'kabel u'chatkiyu," if they've been together, then one can accept them from the outset. "Kevan zelo tokif yitzram," since they don't have as strong an inclination, as strong a desire for each other. And the reason for that is that if a person hasn't been together with their, as of yet, Gentile spouse, so perhaps the only reason why they're converting is because they really feel a pressure. They feel such an urge that they go ahead and convert when they don't really mean it. But once they're already, the case Rav Ovadia is discussing, where they've been married in secular court and they've been married for years and they have children, so a person who decides to go ahead, and the Gentile who decides then to go ahead and get married, so they're making that decision with proper forethought, and it's not just an urge that's going ahead and pushing them to marry without consideration, and it's a decision that they really mean to make for altruistic purposes. And then he writes another reason. He says, the line begins v'ikr. He says like two lines before the end of that paragraph, "She'ilu hayarotza haya mishtamed v'lokeach usa b'dasam." If the Jewish spouse wanted to, he could leave the Jewish faith and go ahead and marry the non-Jewish spouse, you know, outside the faith if he wanted to. So the fact that both of them choose together, we're going to go ahead and marry as a Jewish couple, so that shows that they're altruistically interested in being Jewish. They're not just converting for the sake of marriage, because they could be married even without conversion. And the most interesting reason that Rav Ovadia writes is probably the last one here, "V'eina b'shapir chozi v'harambam." So the Rambam writes in Shelos Uchuvos, "Shekosav odos hanitan ala shifra," a case where a person was suspected of being with a maidservant. "Shebeis adin mechuyovim legareish as hashifra mibeiso, o sheyeshachar osa v'yiso ena," that the court should force the maidservant to become freed so that she'll be a free woman and she'll be permitted to him. "V'af al pi shehanitan ala shifra v'neshtachrira eino yachol isa osa v'chadchira," even though the Gemara told us, the Mishnah told us, that one who's suspected of being with someone who they were not committed to at the time that they were suspected of being together is not allowed to go ahead and then marry them. "Achein pasaknu kein mipnei takonas hashavim." Nonetheless, the Rambam paskins that in this case it's mutter to facilitate people doing the right thing. V'amarnu mutav shiyocha rota v'roshuman atzma. It's better that a person, this is an example from cases of kosher food, but better that a person eat literally the gravy and not the forbidden fat. Better that a person do something which isn't, you know, as severe a problem. V'samachnu al omram zal eis ra'asos Hashem hefeiru torasechan. We rely on the fact that the rabbis quote a pasuk that sometimes when it's necessary to do something for God's sake, we can do things which otherwise would be problematic. That itself is a complicated principle. We have to know when to apply that. But the Rambam is applying that in his case, and Rav Ovadia is carrying it over to our case, and he says, Hilkach yachol yisoena. That in this case, if we would say that we're not going to allow the non-Jewish spouse to convert for the sake of marriage, so the Jewish spouse would say, okay, I'm going to forget about this Judaism business also, and things would be much worse. So in a comparable case, the Rambam permitted them to get married, and Rav Ovadia extends that to this case as well. So based on all these reasons, Rav Ovadia says that if a Gentile person comes to convert and they say from the outset, I'm converting just because I want to marry a Jewish spouse, so even though the Gemara had seemingly said that we would not accept such a convert from the outset, Rav Ovadia says that in our times we would. And just to summarize for the following reasons, first of all, he says that the stakes are much lower. As you pointed out, the stakes in this case are much lower because the prohibition of allowing a conversion just for the sake of marriage is only a rabbinic prohibition. So the stakes are lower here, and if we have legitimate reasons to be lenient, so it's easier to be lenient. And then his reasons for being lenient are, in the case that Rav Ovadia is discussing, where they've already been married in secular court, and they already have been married for years, and they have children, so Rav Ovadia says, no one's really forcing the non-Jewish spouse to convert for the sake of marriage. If they're choosing to convert for the sake of marriage, that's really an altruistic conversion. The Jewish spouse, if he wanted to, could have left the Jewish faith. He's choosing to stay. So this really is an altruistic conversion, and it's not done out of a sense of a pressure that a person just feels an urge and they go out and they say they're going to convert. It's something which is done with forethought, and therefore Rav Ovadia permits it. The second issue, when it comes to conversion for the sake of marriage, is the topic of... This is a question. Yes, Professor Sacker. I'm sure it has relevance, and I guess I'm sure many people are more in the know than I am, but this seems to be a very controversial topic, and there's a lot of discussion on this, and these are really the background sources for that discussion. That we've seen that the Gemara's starting point is that conversion for the sake of marriage is unacceptable, and we see that Rav Ovadia's lenient in light of what he says. I think the second half of the shiur that we're going to get to now is probably, you know, even more controversial in terms of, because Rav Ovadia here is permitting conversions in our time for the sake of marriage, and there are very, very solid reasons, as we've seen, for permitting that. It's going to be more tricky when we get to ways to be lenient when someone we know does not intend to accept to fulfill the 613 commandments. That's more challenging. Yes, Nick.
Ovadia's leniency is only the case where they've already been married in a secular fashion. So they're already able to get married.
Or they could get married.
Okay, so it's an issue of access, not what's already happened.
Right. But the institution of secular marriage has sort of changed the whole dynamic in the eyes of the rabbi. The fact that someone could marry outside of a religious framework changes everything.
Right. So as Mitch is pointing out, Rav Ovadia is specifically referring to a case where they were married in secular court. It would seem to me, and I think that's what I'm understanding from you also, that a lot of the reasons that he gives, that a person could decide, you know, not to convert, and they still could get married if they wanted to. So the fact that they're choosing to get married, you know, after a conversion shows that they have altruistic motivation. So you're right, that's not what Rav Ovadia is specifically discussing, and I'm sure what I'm suggesting now is debatable, and one could, you know, make such a distinction. But it would seem to me that his reasons would be applicable.
Well, not just living with 500 years ago.
Right.
But very recently. So he knew all these things were available. He could have said something like that in his tshuva, even though he was dealing with a specific case. Right. He could have made it much more general, as people do in the tshuvas, those who want to. He could have said, well, just because in today's world these things are available. He didn't say that. He said, because in this case.
I think that was the case he was addressing, but I do hear how...
I don't know if he went that far.
Yeah, let me see.
And
the
first questioner who was here anymore will point it out that he said it not just in the context of this one thing about, you know, do we accept people for the sake of marriage? He also said it in the context of those people are going to be Shomer Mitzvot.
Right. I think he says
it. Just take one half of what
right.
he says.
If we'll go to source, just to address that, if we go to source 23, the last source here, which is at the end of this tshuva. So there he speaks in more broader terms. And he says, Maskona Divina, so Rav Ovadia Yosef's conclusion, the halacha, is Bahanafisna Bahasarik. Now with this we go down and with this we go up, meaning it's a poetic way of speaking. Rav Ovadia is poetic. Shein Yura the Eine Beis Hadin. If it seems to the court, Shahanachriya Bar His Gaya Geiris Gemura, that in this case a non-Jewish woman has intention to convert with a full conversion, the Kabbalas or Torah Mitzvot, with the acceptance of Torah Mitzvot, Berev Shalem, with a full heart, Rishmor V'Rasos Dinei HaTorah V'Mitzvah, with intent to fulfill all of the laws of the Torah and the Mitzvot, Urechanich Baneha V'Torah, and to educate her children for Torah, V'Achar Giyuram, after their conversion, Kadas, according to religious law, Yesh Rahatir V'Gaido V'Chachira, so one can permit them to convert from the outset, and to permit them to get married from the outset, and in line with the opinion of the majority of the rabbis of our times who permit one to be lenient in these cases. So here he's speaking in a more broad sense, and he says that as long as the person intends to fulfill all the mitzvos, so we would allow them to convert from the outset. Fine. So moving on to the second issue, which is probably the more challenging issue, is what happens if a convert says that they want to convert for the sake of marriage. So okay, we're willing to accept that, as we've seen, but we know that they don't have intents to fulfill the mitzvos. How do we know that? So Moshe Feinstein talks about a case where a Gentile is converting for the sake of marrying a Jewish spouse, and the Jewish spouse is not observant of the commandments themselves. And Rav Moshe Feinstein basically says that it's very unlikely that the spouse who's converting is going to be more religious and more observant than the spouse who they're marrying who's already Jewish. So what about a case like that? Is there a requirement for a convert to accept to fulfill all of the mitzvos? So let's see how best to do this in the time left. Okay, so let's look at source 6 on the first page. So the pasuk is talking about, the verse is talking about korbanos, about bringing a korban mincha, and the pasuk says, "Hakahal chuka achas lachem v'rager hagar," that the same rules when it comes to bringing offerings in the Beis Hamikdash apply both to someone who is born Jewish and to someone who converts. Chukas olam u'doroseichem, and these are the laws for eternity, for all generations. Kachem kager yihiyah, you shall be just like the ger shall be just like you. In other words, there's an equation in this pasuk between someone who's born Jewish and someone who converts. So Chazal learn out from that equation in the seventh source here. The Gemara says, Rabbi Omer, Kachem ka'avoseichem. Just like our ancestors entered the covenant of becoming Jewish, so to speak, at Har Sinai, the time of the giving of the Torah, through a bris mila, through tvira, through going into a mikvah, and v'hatzas damim, and bringing a carbon. So too, future converts will join the covenant of the Jewish people by doing the same three things, by having the bris mila for a male convert, and tefillah, going in the mikvah, v'hatzas damim, and bringing a korban in times when the Beis HaMikdash stood, and it was possible to bring korbanos. So for the sake of time here, I think I'm going to skip. So actually, let's not skip. Let's continue. So source 8 tells us where the Gemara saw that when the Jewish people entered into the covenant with Hashem, that they had these three stages, that they had a bris mila, that they went into a mikvah, and that they brought a carbon. And then in source 9, we have the psukim here that the Gemara brings from. Now, what's interesting to note is that the Gemara, in listing what's required of a convert, does not mention that there be an acceptance to fulfill the commandments. That's not mentioned. The Gemara mentions three things. A bris mila for a male convert, going into the mikvah, and bringing a korban when the Beis HaMikdash stands. It doesn't mention accepting the mitzvos. So, What's interesting, though, is that when the Gemara quotes the sources for these three things, it's these psukim here that we have in source 9, and right in the middle of those psukim, which talk about how Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, brought a carbon when they brought a carbon at Har Sinai when they received the Torah and entered the covenant of being Jewish, they brought a carbon, and the pasuk talks about how they sprinkled from the carbon on them, and there's a comparison between that and going into a mikvah, and these psukim are really the source for everything that the Gemara here says is required, and right in the middle of those psukim, we find the pasuk that says, "Vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma." That's when the Jewish people say, whatever God says, we'll do and we will listen. So even though the Gemara is not quoting that as a requirement, there is reason to believe, perhaps, again, this is not proof, but perhaps, that part of the requirement is also to accept to fulfill the commandments. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to go a little further, and then we'll take questions in a few minutes. So the truth is, though, that we get a little bit closer to seeing that there's a requirement of accepting mitzvos in the next source, and then there's an explicit Gemara in the source after that. So in source 10, the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, on page 2, Ger shebal hisgayer bizman hazeh. So a convert who comes to convert nowadays, omim homes, we say to him, Maro isa shebasel hisgayer. What did you see that caused you to convert? Yata yodaya, don't you know, she Yisrael bizman hazeh, that the Jewish people nowadays are dvuyim, they're suffering, they're chufim, they're pushed around, they're schufim, they're swept around, they're meturafim, they're torn. In other words, it's not easy. Visuin boyin arayim, suffering sometimes befalls them. So im omer, if the convert says, yodeya ani ve'eni kedai, if the convert says, I know that and I'm not worthy, in other words, yes, I absolutely want to become Jewish, mekavlin oso miyad, we accept him right away, umodiyin oso miktas mitzvos kalos, umiktas mitzvos chamuros, and then we inform him of some of the mitzvos. So now this Gemara is taken in two different ways, as we'll see, hopefully we'll have time, but this is taken in two different ways. There are those who say, you see, we inform him of the mitzvos, why do we inform him of the mitzvos? Because he has to accept them. And there are others who say, well, once he says, I know that it's not so easy for the Jewish people and I'm not even worthy, I want to be a Jew, we accept him right away, and we tell him some of the mitzvos. So it sounds like there wasn't an immediate commitment to fulfill all the mitzvos. So as we'll see, this is taken in both ways. But the next source is probably the most explicit. The Gemara says in Maseches Becholos in source 11, Oved kochavim shebalei kabel divrei Torah chutz midavar echad, that a Gentile who comes to accept Torah with the exception of one thing. I'm willing to fulfill all the laws of the Torah except for one law, ein mekabel oso. We don't accept him. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda Omer, afilu dikduk echad midavrei sofrim, even if he says he's not going to fulfill one rabbinic principle, we still don't accept him. And the Shulchan Aruch brings this in source 12. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about what part of the conversion has to be during the day and has to be in front of three people. And he says that most of these things can, even if they're done at night, are okay. But he says, chutz mikabalas ha-mitzvos, except for the acceptance of mitzvos, of fulfilling the commandments, shema akeves im eina bayom uvashosha. That is absolutely required to be by day and absolutely required to be in front of a court of three people. And if not, it doesn't work. So what we see from there is that it's an absolute requirement, that the Shulchan Aruch is saying that there is a requirement that the person who's coming to convert accept mitzvos, and if he doesn't accept mitzvos during the day and in front of three people, the conversion is not valid. So seemingly from here, the convert who comes and says he wants to convert, and if we know that he's not planning on fulfilling the commandments, so the conversion should not be valid. So are there any reasons why it might be valid? So any suggestions? Any room for leniency here?
We assume that it might be a process. He might become more observant over time, and we judge him favorably on that point of view.
Very good, excellent. The Gemara says the famous story that a convert came to Hillel, and he said, you know, convert me, you'll teach me the whole Torah. So at that point, Hillel didn't... there are a bunch of stories, a few stories there. One of them is where the convert said, I'm only willing to accept the written Torah. I'm not willing to accept the oral explanation. And Hillel still went ahead and helped him convert. So how could he do that? He's not accepting even biblical... he's not even accepting the legitimacy of the biblical oral tradition and the explanation of the biblical Torah. So how could he be accepted? So Rashi there explains that Hillel knew that over the course of time he would come to accept and fulfill the Torah. Yeah, Chaim, are you also going to say something? You were raising your hand before? Excellent, perfect. So that's the Ritva's point. You're machaving to the Ritva. Excellent. So let's go to the Ritva here. So Rabbi Nachman is overruled. Right, so let's go to the Ritva, because the Ritva makes Chaim's point. So in source 16 here, just actually for the sake of time, I'll just say outside quickly, we're starting with the impression here that, and then we'll come to the Ritva in 1 minute, we're starting off with the starting point that accepting the mitzvos is a requirement, and that certainly is what it seems from the Gemara that we saw in Bechoros. The Rambam is a little bit unclear on this point. The Bach's interpretation of the Rambam, the Bach is one of the commentaries on the tour, a primary commentary on the tour. His understanding of the Rambam is that there's no such requirement whatsoever. There's no requirement that a person who converts accept the mitzvos. But the Bach points out that even though that seems to be the Rambam's position, the Tosus and the Rosh disagree and assume, like the simple understanding of the Gemara, that accepting mitzvos is a requirement. So assuming that accepting mitzvos is a requirement, so let's see the Ritva. The Ritva in source 16. Halacha kuran gerim. So this is talking about exactly the Gemara of Rabbi Nechemiah and the Rabbanan, right, where the Rabbanan said that conversions because the person was afraid of the lions, or conversion for the sake of marriage, all of those conversions are legitimate. So the Ritva says, Perish to Gemara gamira the Rabbanan prigia Rabbi Nechemiah. We have a tradition that the rabbis argue with the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah, Ustamas nisen kirabbanan hu, a Mishnah which is anonymous, we assume to be the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Hikshu b'tosfos, the Tosfos asks, Kevan de gerei arayos gerim hein l'rabbanan. If according to the Rabbanan, so one who converts because they're afraid of the lions, that conversion is legitimate. Why do we find a difference of opinion elsewhere in the Gemara, where there's a position, there's an opinion that one who can, that a certain group of people who converted because they were afraid of the lions, that conversion is illegitimate? Why? According to the Rabbanan, that conversion should be legitimate. The Tirtzu and Tosus answers, the Shiny Hasam, it's different there. Shakosiv Omealeyam, the Pasuk says about them, the Es Eloheim, how you owed them, that they continued worshipping their idols. Romash on his Gayu, Brave Shalem, the Olam, they never converted with a full heart. Verokibu Aleyam, they never accepted, to fulfill the, they never, well, I'll be as vague as the Ritva is, they never accepted it upon themselves. Uman de Machshir Hassam, in the opinion who says that their conversion was legitimate, suffered in his Gayu Brave Shalem, that they did convert with a full heart, Al Chazur Asuram, they just afterwards they lost the right track. Aval Hacha, but over here, this is the important line, this is what Chaim said, Kevan de Nizgayru Vikibru Aleyam, since they converted and they accepted upon themselves, Chazakahu de Agav Onsayu Gamru Vikibru. So we have an assumption of Chazakah, we can rely on the fact that, yes, it's true that they were forced, but in the situation that they were in, they were forced, but out of that situation, they totally accepted on themselves, they totally accepted the conversion upon themselves. Even though it was out of duress, it's still a legitimate geir. So in other words, Chaim pointed out that, well, the Gemara says a conversion for the sake of marriage, a conversion out of fear of the lions. We assume, like the Rabbanan, that those conversions are valid. Are all of those people running and jumping saying that we intend to fulfill the mitzvos? So the Ritva basically is explaining that, yes, it's true that they were forced, but in their state of being forced, it's true it was out of duress, but in their state of duress, they decided they were going to become Jewish. That's an acceptance of becoming Jewish, and even a conversion out of duress, according to Rabbanan, still would count as a conversion. Source 17 here, there's another principle that's discussed. There's an idea of dvarim shebelev einan dvarim. That what a person thinks in their heart that they don't verbalize, so we don't take that into consideration. So what happens when a person comes to convert for the sake of marriage? They come and they say, and you know, the rabbi tells them, you know, that you're accepting to fulfill on yourself, you're accepting to fulfill the mitzvos, and you know, they nod and they say, sure, I intend to fulfill the mitzvos. And as in Moshe Feinstein explained, that if their intent is to marry a spouse who's not observant and not fulfilling the mitzvos, so it could be that we would think of taking what they say with a grain of salt. But perhaps you should apply this principle that dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. The fact that we think that internally they don't really mean it, they don't really mean to accept the mitzvos, so that might not be halachically relevant. So that's one suggestion. The difficulty with that suggestion is in source 18 here, Tosfos says, that we'll just say it outside for the sake of time, that we have a principle that if there's something that we know with absolute certainty that everyone in the world in this situation would be thinking, so then that does have halachic significance. So just to summarize maybe before getting to the last piece, which is a tshuva of Rabbi Uziel, who was the first Sfaradi chief rabbi of the State of Israel, where he presents additional reasons to be lenient. So just to summarize what we have until now, the simple understanding of the Gemara is that a person has to accept to fulfill the mitzvot in order for the conversion to be valid. The Rambam, of course. What?
Is that a Tanai? In other words, like, it would Geras be based on a Tanai that he's going to keep the mitzvahs?
It requires that the time of the conversion, that he have a real wholehearted intent to fulfill the mitzvahs. If a person converts and then they, you know, they miss the performance of a mitzvah, it's not going to nullify their conversion.
Years go on, and he's not sharing mitzvahs. Is it possible that the Geras is no longer Geras?
No, once the Geras is legitimate, the Geras is legitimate. But at the time that he accepts the Geras, he has to have intent to fulfill the mitzvahs according to the simple understanding of the Gemara. The Rambam thinks that there's no requirement, according to the Bach's understanding, thinks that there's no requirement to accept the mitzvahs in order to convert, but the Bach points out that most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Ritva presents this idea that out of duress, a person says, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvahs. They really mean it out of duress. This is questioned. I heard a shiur from my Rebbe in YU, Reb Mordechai Willig. It's a shiur available on YU Torah. So he quotes from the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram says that in previous generations, you know, if you converted, you were living in a Jewish community, if you weren't observant, you were going to be ostracized. In our times, we don't ostracize someone who's not observant. We treat everyone lovingly. So as a result, it's a little difficult to suggest what the Ritva suggests. Well, out of duress, he accepted the mitzvahs, he really intends to fulfill them. That might have been true once upon a time where if you wanted to have friends, you had no choice in the Jewish community but to fulfill the mitzvahs. But in our times where, you know, everyone will befriend you anyways, so the Ritva's logic is a little bit difficult to apply, because out of duress, he really intends to fulfill the mitzvahs. If you would ask most of these people, they would probably say that they don't intend to fulfill the mitzvahs. Or at least that's the assumption that we'll see in Rav Uziel. Right, I think the general assumption is if you require an acceptance of mitzvahs, the opinions that require an acceptance of mitzvahs require everything. And the opinions that don't require an acceptance of mitzvahs, it seems like, don't require anything. That's what it seems like.
So that therein lies, you know, a real challenge.
Right.
On a practical basis, who really fulfills Torah mitzvah? And whose interpretation, what is Torah? I mean, it goes on and
right.
On.
Right.
That therein lies in and of itself, amongst the whole thing, a fundamental challenge as to what is the requirement of the challenge.
Right, it's a complicated discussion, right. Yeah. So just to finish up really quickly to make sure that I'm on time, Rav Uziel, the first Sephardi chief rabbi, we're not going to have time to go through all the sources now. I'm just going to mention one thing that he says. He points out that there's a lot of discussion of conversion l'shem shamayim, and we got to this earlier, l'shem shamayim, converting for the sake of heaven. And he distinguishes between the expression converting for the sake of heaven and converting with an intent to fulfill all the mitzvahs. In fact, he says that the fact that we have on the books that the conversion has to be for the sake of heaven tells us that there's not a requirement to fulfill all the mitzvahs, that it's sufficient that the person's converting for the sake of heaven. They want to be a servant of God, they want to serve God, and that's sufficient. Just to summarize quickly, because we have to end, I'm sorry I put too much here, but there basically are two issues when it comes to conversion for the sake of marriage. One issue is whether we should accept from the outset someone who comes to convert saying that they're doing so only for the sake of marriage. The Gemara says no, we don't accept them from the outset. Rav Ovadia Yosef gives several reasons why we would accept them, with the basic underlying reason being that it's not really conversion for the sake of marriage, because in our times they could go ahead and get married even without the conversion. So since they get married without the conversion and they choose to get married with the conversion, they're converting because they want to be Jewish, and that's not called conversion for the sake of marriage, and that's why these conversions, when we know that they're for the sake of marriage, are legitimate. When it comes to the second requirement, the second issue is an acceptance of mitzvahs. Simple understanding of the Gemara is that there is a requirement of acceptance of mitzvahs. The Rambam seemingly doesn't hold that way, but most Rishonim do. The basis for saying there's a requirement of acceptance of mitzvahs is that when the Gemara lists the three requirements, bris milah for a male convert, going to the mikvah and bringing a korban when the Beis HaMikdash stands, those are learned out from sukkim, where smack in the middle of those sukkim, Klal Yisrael say, the Jewish people say, Na'aseh v'nishma. What would be reasons for accepting a convert who we know is not going to fulfill the mitzvos? So either the Rambam, who the Bach points out is really a singular opinion amongst the Rishonim, the Ritva, that a person out of duress does really intend to fulfill the mitzvos, which is a little challenging nowadays, where it's where you know a person would not be socially ostracized if they joined the Jewish community and did not fulfill the mitzvos. One possibility could be that we don't take into account thoughts that a person has that one doesn't verbalize. So if they have a thought that they're not going to fulfill the mitzvos, but they say that they are, so we could accept what they say at face value. That's difficult because we normally assume that if it's something that we know with absolute certainty, close, you can never know anything with absolute certainty. But if we can be pretty well assured that they don't really intend to fulfill the mitzvos, maybe then we wouldn't apply this principle that thoughts aren't taken into account. And then Rav Uziel, who says that the expression that's used is that the conversion be for the sake of heaven, and a conversion for the sake of heaven doesn't necessarily include an acceptance to fulfill the mitzvos. I'm not getting involved in the controversial discussions, so everyone can see they're a local Orthodox rabbi for questions with regard to this. What, I'm sorry?
As to how it applies.
But that's basically the background of the discussion. Thank you everyone for coming. I'm sorry that the source sheets weren't in English.